For texts about the value of listening, these passages strike me as being a bit shouty. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? Wisdom yells from the town square. Because I have called you and you refused, have stretched out my hand and no one heeded, and because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when panic strikes you. Yikes. And then there's James. The tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed upon our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. Yikes. So my first response is, shut up and leave me alone. I can't hear you when you're yelling at me. And then I think, aren't these the perfect scriptures for the fake newsers and forever Trumpers and anti-vaxxers? Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and be sated with their own devices. For waywardness kills the simple, and the complacency of fools destroys them. That hits almost too close for comfort. And from James, no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. Oh, I think, I sure wouldn't want to be on the receiving end of these words of wisdom. Except, oops, I am. We all are, I think. And that's why I find the letter of James such a helpful little book, because it speaks to Christians who are struggling with how to actually live out what they believe. To all Christians, in other words. Eugene Peterson, author of the contemporary Bible translation, The Message, introduces James's letter with these words. When Christian believers gather in churches, everything that can go wrong sooner or later does. Just as hospitals collect the sick under one roof and label them as such, the church collects sinners. Many of the people outside the hospital are every bit as sick as the ones inside, but their illnesses are either undiagnosed or disguised. It's similar with sinners outside the church. So Christian churches are not, as a rule, model communities of good behavior. They are, rather, places where human misbehavior is brought out in the open, faced, and dealt with. Well, churches should be that anyway. That's why we actually confess our sins together in public rather than trying to pretend we're so perfect. That's why we try to accept the imperfections of others as much as we hope they accept our imperfections. That is why we strive for reconciliation with rather than vengeance on those who have harmed us and those whom we have harmed. As James says, all of us make many mistakes. And he certainly does an excellent job of pointing them out. It sounds like rebuke, but I think he actually wants to help us to face up to our failures, bring them out into the open so that we can deal with them. And he is spot on, I think, with his descriptions of the power of the tongue to do harm. A small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. Isn't it? Rumors spread like wildfire, we say, and the juicier the rumor, the faster it spreads. The quick retort, spoken unthinkingly perhaps, perhaps in anger or hurt, even jokingly, sets off a fire of anger in the recipient. And soon there's a blazing fight, or maybe worse, there is dead silence and communication comes to a standstill. A friendship ends. Sometimes the fire burns more slowly. The damage is done all the same. Casual words spoken and heard repeatedly. You'll never amount to anything. I don't have time for you. Oh, you're so stupid. Like the drip, drip, drip of water on stone. Words can wear away confidence, wear away trust. There are words spoken with forthright honesty because it's our right to speak our minds because we're entitled to our opinions. But honesty is not always the best policy. Novelist Stephen L. Carter gives this example. A dying man confesses to his wife that many years ago, he had an affair. It's been weighing on his mind and he needs to get it off his chest. He feels better. The truth has set him free. His wife? She is devastated. Her memories of a happy marriage wiped out in an instant. Carter concludes, as my mother used to say, you don't have to tell people everything you know. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You know, I've noticed that many children don't know that rhyme these days. Perhaps because in a world of texts and emails and Insta, they know the power of words to harm. We have a problem James could never have imagined. In his day, and quite recently in our own, it was mainly the spoken word we had to worry about. Writing took more time, gave us breathing space, thinking space. Now, thanks to the internet and cell phones and other things, the written word can be transmitted far and wide with the speed of the tongue. You know, harmful words spoken in haste have been likened to a feather pillow ripped open and waved around. You can try to collect all those spilled feathers blowing hither and yon, but it's not going to happen. Or some say it's like toothpaste. Once it's out of the tube, just try to cram it back in. Or words are like a fire, which, as we've seen all too well recently, can rage out of control from a single spark. I think of all the people frantically doing damage control after they've spouted some harmful nonsense on Twitter or wherever. The white people who really didn't mean to make those racist remarks. The men who objectified women but promised they'll do better. You know how it goes. There are lots of examples. And then there are the people who don't even bother to apologize because they meant their words to be harmful, meant their words to set fires, even if they don't actually believe them themselves. And it seems to me that even people I agree with politically and theologically are pretty shouty these days. I probably am too. I think of Eliza Doolittle in My Fair Lady complaining, words, 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 I'm so sick of words. Why can't we all just shut up? So I have a confession to make. I stayed up till about 2 a.m. Thursday morning because I was watching the 7-hour video of the long-delayed induction ceremony for the Baseball Hall of Fame class of 2020. And I loved every second of it. I love baseball, what can I say? And the big finale of the day, of course, was the speech by inductee Derek Jeter. Now, Derek Jeter is beloved by many fans and was for just about every second of his storied 20-year career as shortstop for the New York Yankees. He helped win 5 World Series. He was also loved for his discipline, his dedication, his consistency in style and classiness. But over those 20 years that he played, there were also constant complaints about him, mostly from sports writers. Jeter was too boring, too guarded. He didn't provide good copy. He never got involved in controversy. He could never be drawn into making a revealing or contentious remark. That's true. Because from a very young age, probably due to his remarkable parents, Derek Jeter had learned the wisdom of keeping his mouth shut, of keeping his eyes on the prize, doing his job, letting his actions speak for him. If I could learn to keep my mouth shut a quarter of the times I should, I would be one happy camper. Now, early on, I referred to that saying, I can't hear you when you're yelling. And I'd add, often when we're yelling, we can't hear ourselves think. And I'm not talking about just speaking loudly or posting on social or responding to an email. There are all the times we think we're listening to someone else, but really we're just listening to our own interior monologues, silently drowning out the voice of another. Maybe we talk so much because we don't want to think. Maybe all our yelling and yakety yakking are actually cries for help. I don't know. I do know we can't control other people's tongues. We can only try to control our own. Less talking the talk, more walking the walk, I guess. More listening to one another. Lord knows it can be hard to listen to people, even people we like and agree with, much less those we don't agree with, and even worse, those who vomit up words we think are abhorrent. But even if we disagree, even if we still think what we're hearing is untrue and illogical and harmful, listening helps us understand it better, clarifies our own views, educates us to better work against the harm and for the good. You know, I think of Jesus asking people, what do you want me to do for you? One scholar added it up and said that Jesus asked 307 questions in the Gospels. Even Jesus didn't presume to know everything. Even he knew the grace of listening and of letting other voices be heard. And of course, we can all probably do more listening to God. I mean, I suspect most of us are pretty good at talking to God. And of course, it's helpful to open our hearts to the Lord. But do we always take time to listen? Maybe to meditate in silence? Or if that's not your thing, to read the scriptures, to listen to a prayer podcast, to just be with God, whatever form that takes for you, without always asking or telling. The wisdom woman cries out, I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refused, have stretched out my hand and no one heeded, and because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when panic strikes you. Well, I don't think God laughs at us or mocks us. But I do believe God calls to us, often very softly, and stretches out a loving hand and gives us wise advice. And when we can't hear it, above all the shouting, our own included, God shakes her head in sorrow and offers her hand once more, whispering her wisdom into our ears. Can you hear it? Can we heed it? Can we follow? And to God alone be the glory. Amen.